Hello and welcome to the show. This is Morph with More Speaks, and I got my co-host, Ray. All right, so today we got a pretty interesting show. This is the prequel. We were going to do the We Own the City. What was it? What is that called? We Own the City documentary based on the Baltimore crooked police officers. So we'll do that the upcoming week. But this is the prequel. We just want to talk about police officers, dirty police officers, and some of the shows that I watch. Me and Ray were talking about it. So Know Your First Amendment, a couple of shows I watch on YouTube, also Policing the Police Officers, and you know how some of these folks are agitators as much as folks that are protesting their right for the First Amendment, you know, Second Amendment, and the Fifth Amendment. Ray, I know you're catching up. You're watching the episodes now. It's six. How's it looking so far?
What's going on, Morph, man? Thank you for having me. Man, let me tell you, We Own This City. I had not heard of it myself, but I was intrigued when you brought it up because, you know, I did know about the Freddie Gray case a little bit, you know, to kind of piggyback off of our conversation before we started going live. You know, these people that go out and record their interactions with, you know, random police officers from random departments, they're just testing the system, basically. They want to see if officers are following procedure or, you know, some people genuinely are out there to see how their rights are being enforced. And then, like you said, there's people out there that are just trying to agitate police officers and get a good video clip and go viral with it. So definitely is something that I look forward to. We Own This City next week. We definitely going to drop that. But so far, it's just a lot of unbelievable things that to the normal viewer, you know, a normal citizen that is unaware maybe of these things, it could be really shocking and almost you can't believe that it's real. But that is the sad reality of our law enforcement, is that there's good, you know, there's good in every department, but there's a lot of bad too. And, you know, it's definitely something that we're going to tap into coming up.
Yeah. So that'll be next week. I don't want to give too many details out for that, so I'll leave that alone. But the conversation we're having is one of the videos I watched a couple of days ago was a video of a police officer. So I watch a lot of recordings, police officer interactions and things like that. This one happened to be a stop, a routine traffic stop that happened between a police officer, a state trooper, and an individual. He was pulled over for speeding.
As he came up to the vehicle, the officer noticed the driver was messing with the glove box and told him he shouldn't be doing that. He could get shot because the officer doesn't know what he was doing.
You know, starts to ask him the basic questions, you know, why were you speeding, things like that. And then he asked him for his driver's license and he handed it over. And then the state trooper asked for registration for the vehicle. Did he own the vehicle? He said, yeah. I mean, you could hear some of it. You couldn't hear everything because it was from the camera from the dash cam. It wasn't any of the cameras from the actual body cams. So they're having an interaction. And when he asked for the registration, the guy in the car basically said that it was in his glove box and he didn't want to go in there. And the officer asked why, you know, that he needed it. And he was very hesitant to go into the glove box. And the officer asked him, you know, do you have a gun? He's like, I do. He's like, are you legally allowed to carry it? And I don't know if I can't. I don't remember what he said. I think he said he is. And at that point, you know, they were still interacting normal. And all of a sudden, the guy glove boxes and pulls the gun out. And that interaction, you know, totally changed because now the police officer was he was like, put the gun down, and the guy wouldn't, you know, put the gun down. So he shot him three times. I literally counted, you know, from the time he got shot, he still never put the gun down. He still had the gun in his hand, but I don't know if, you know, if something was wrong, because you could still see him moving in the vehicle, and the officer didn't shoot him anymore. He just shot him three times and waited for backup. But I mean, between the time he got shot to the time that the medics came was damn near like 20 minutes, but they got him to the hospital. They didn't show really the end, but that just goes to show you that, like we were just talking about, me and Ray, you know, here in Texas, of course, you got to assume that everybody has a gun. That's why there's so many, you know, road rage incidents, you know, people cutting you off. And I mean, some of these road rage incidents are stupid because, you know, you got to think, you know, everybody wants to go home. Shooting somebody, you know, for cutting you off, you know, in this world today and all this other junk going on is just dumb. So any take on that story I just gave, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of perspective on that. I think that, you know, as we were talking about, you know, here in Texas, you know, the law enforcement is done one way. And of course, everywhere across the United States, every police department is going to enforce the law differently and have their own policies because every state is different. You know, here in Texas, you do have to assume everybody has a gun. It's an open carry state at this point. What I would say in that scenario is there's a code, okay? And the same way there's a code for the streets, there's a code for police officers. And I think that a lot of people panic with police officers and you know, rightfully so. You know, I've always made notice that nobody ever feels safe with red and blue lights behind them in a vehicle, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're not doing a single thing wrong. It doesn't matter if, you know, he's trying to get to a different crime scene. You see those red and blue lights and that little bit of fear enters your spirit, you know. But with guns, right, you know, especially here in Texas, you can have a concealed handgun license. And when you do that, you know, you learn certain codes. So what I've learned is, like, when a police officer pulls you over, the first thing you do is you put both hands on the steering wheel and you leave them both there. You don't move nothing. When the officer comes, you have the window rolled down. You got both hands on the steering wheel and you keep them in eyesight at all times. You don't move nothing. So when the officer asks you for your license and registration, you say, all right, officer, my license and registration is in the glove box or it's in the middle compartment. I'm going to reach over and grab it. Okay. Now the officer may ask you, are you carrying a firearm or a weapon? Right. Now, if you have reason to believe that you're going to get pulled out of the vehicle and you're going to be searched, maybe it's in your best interest to let that officer know that you have a firearm. If you think you're just getting pulled over for a speeding ticket, you know, and you don't have ill intent and the gun is out of sight, you know, I'm not encouraging people to lie to law enforcement, but I'm just saying use your judgment. Like, don't give an officer a reason to feel alarmed or threatened if you're not about that life.
My take on it, look, I've been pulled over probably 3 or 4 times since I've had my handgun license. And I've had it since 99. So I've had it many years already. It's going on what?
23 years.
So every time I've gotten pulled over, I've had a great interaction with the police. Yes, I'm Hispanic. I look Hispanic. I don't look white or anything like that. And that's what we were talking about as well. As soon as the officer knows you got a concealed handgun license, conversation is actually way better. You know, I've had no issues. They, you know, only one time I had an issue with the state trooper that was being an asshole. Part of having a concealed handgun is when they ask you for your driver's license, you give them your concealed handgun license as well. Mm-hmm. At the same time. Every time I've done that, I've had no issues until this one state trooper pulled me over. I was speeding. Yes, I was. I was doing 30 in a 20. I was going through a school zone.
Damn.
I wasn't the only one. It was a speed trap because the lady beside me was doing the same thing. But guess what? She had a Toyota Corolla. I had a, you know, Chrysler 300. So guess what? He pulled me over. We both were speeding. He told her to go because he jumped into the middle of the street and stopped both of us, told her to go and waved me to the side. So he already had some type of vendetta against me. You know, I don't know if it was because the car or what. So he pulled me over when I gave him both licenses. He's like, I don't want this shit. And he, I was like, well, I have my pistol too. I'm like, I'm just letting you know. And he was like, well, I don't care. He's like, I just need your driver's license. And he walked away, never asked for insurance or anything, gave me a ticket and sent me on my way. I did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I even let him know I had my pistol, but you know, that could have went a different way. I mean, it normally with HPD, I've never had no issue. You know, I've actually got a warning one time. I don't even know if I was speeding. I don't know what it was. They just let me go. One thing I want to say is interactions with officers, it depends on your attitude and what you're doing. You know, sometimes it doesn't care how nice you are. They're gonna be a dick or do whatever the hell they want. Depends on your color, your skin too, because you know sometimes they're just looking, you know, for certain things. You can be Black, Hispanic. Most times, you know, we get the short end of the stick with police officers because they already think you're in a gang. They already think you know you're doing something or you up to no good or something like that. A lot of times, the interaction with the person, you know, resisting. You know, I've seen enough cops. I've seen enough videos to see that some folks actually agitate the situation and cause the whole situation. You know, sometimes that the cop is being normal and they're just going to handcuff you. And then sometimes these folks just, you know, go off the deep end. And I'm not going to say it's every situation. I know it's scary right now, like you said, to see the red and blue behind you. You know, and be pulled over. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, racial profiling and things like that. But that's not all the time. Sometimes the situation gets worse because of the agitation that the actual person does.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I want to tap in a little bit into some of that racial talk that we were just having, because I think the lens that we see law enforcement through depends on, of course, your background, your culture. And for many Americans, their skin color. So the thing is, the topic is always about, you know, the Black injustice of constantly being harassed, being shot unarmed, not being given their rightful day in court. You know, a lot of times people assume guilt before they assume innocence, even though we assume innocence until proven guilty.
Correct.
It's one thing for us to say, hey, you know, just do what you're told and put your head down and just, you know, obey. And it's another to have an experience where maybe you've been pulled over 5 times in the past month and you haven't had any charges, no tickets. You've just been pulled over and you've been ran and profiled and checked. And maybe you've been even harassed a little bit. So everybody's experience is different. What I've learned from just, you know, years of coming across different people is like the same way you go into a bank and you expect the transaction to kind of go in a certain way. You know, I could walk into any bank in America and I already know I'm gonna have to fill out a deposit slip or a withdrawal form. I'm gonna go up to the teller. The teller's gonna ask me a couple questions to verify my identity and boom, like you just expect the process to be a certain way. So like with police officers, they're trained to do their job. And really, there's two types of police officers. There's the police officer that goes and collects his check and goes back home to his family. And then there's the police officers that have their own agendas and different interests that they are able to implement into their job. So unfortunately, you have to look at police officers as individuals. You can't look at them as a big group because each police officer is different. You know, whether it's male, female, different races, you know. I think a good topic here is we always say it's the white police officers, but we've touched bases in the past where sometimes it's your own people that are harder on you than an officer from a different race. You know, I've had negative experiences with Latino police officers, but I've had great experiences with white officers, Black officers, Asian officers. You know, is that me saying that all Latino officers are bad? No, but sometimes people police their people harder. You know, I know that in the 90s with like the riots and Watts and Compton and all those different riots that were going on, it was racial profiling to the fullest, but also it was black officers going into these black communities and harassing black residents. You know what I'm saying? Like, they always use your own people against you when it's the most convenient, which is why, like, I think it's funny when like a crime happens in like Sunnyside or like Greens Point, they'll have a black reporter in the black area. You know what I'm saying? They don't send a white reporter to a black area. Or if there's a crime in Pasadena or Rosenberg or Southeast, they're going to send a Latino reporter. Like, that's how police works. They're going to put police officers of your same culture or environment in that environment. Well, at least nowadays, you know, now we're starting to see more diversity in the police ranks and stuff like that. But back in the day, I mean, you were either white or you were one of the very few diverse colors to be behind the badge. So to kind of go along with that racial profiling, it is very real. The injustices are very real, but we have to change how we approach law enforcement so that way we can protect ourselves. Because at the end of the day, depending on where you are in the United States, you have to blame your lawmakers and congressmen and senators and all that for not implementing laws to protect you. So here in Texas, like I said, you can expect the process to kind of go a certain way when you get pulled over. License or registration. Do you know why I pulled you over? Do you have any weapons or drugs in the vehicle? Why were you speeding? So normal questions. But I think what happens is people have anxiety. People have fear. People have doubts. And people already have their own individual egos and philosophies and their own view of police officers. So for example, like, we could put our hands in the fire and say, well, this officer was wrong for shooting such and such. But we don't know what such and such said, did, how they were behaving. We don't know police policy. We don't know what the situation was until we see the whole situation. But a lot of times what we see is we see the black body on the floor. We see the cameras. We see the crowds. And that's what we see. So all we look at it is, well, was he armed? No. Is he dead? Yes. The mass shooter in Buffalo is alive today in a prison cell. After he done murdered 10 people and hurt I don't know how many other people he hurt. He's alive and well. The shooter in Uvalde, Texas is dead. Now, am I going to make that a racial issue? Probably not. I really would have had so much pleasure if the Uvalde shooter would have had his day in court. Like, that guy deserves to go to prison. He deserved to go through that experience in prison, because even prisoners know you don't kill children. And you don't kill women. Like, women and children are always off limits, you know, especially here in Texas. I don't know about the rest of the United States, but here in Texas, women and children are always first. And for this savage, as bad as this child was, I still want to hold his parents accountable. You know, his stepdad or the mom's boyfriend couldn't wait to hop on the press and tell the press about how weird and how different and how he didn't have a relationship with this 18-year-old. Not once do they offer solutions. Do they offer, like, hey, you know what, man, we could have done better. We could have noticed that he purchased an assault rifle on his 18th birthday. But here's where things take a turn for me. And I'm going to pass the mic to you more, if I promise. But I feel like people need to take away how they feel about law enforcement when they are dealing with law enforcement. So a lot of times people want to have their pride and their egos in the way. So, like, let's say, like, in your case, when the police officer said, I don't need that shit, you could have took it and been like, well, fuck you then. Or, hey, don't talk to me like that. Or you could have said a number of things to escalate that situation. But because you knew that you were following your policy, your procedure, like, you were doing what you were supposed to do as a gun holder. You knew that you did what you were supposed to do, whether he wanted it or not. You still did what you were supposed to do. And that's how it works. The police officers are the first point of contact between the law and us. So a lot of times people are sitting here arguing with police officers, and they're not even the ones that determine if you're going to go to jail or not. Sometimes you got to get booked. Sometimes you got to get pulled out the car. Sometimes you got to get handcuffed. That doesn't mean you're going to jail. But if you sit here and over talk, you know, like, what I've learned is, if a police officer doesn't ask you a question, don't mention it. Because, you know, like, if an officer pulls you over because he thinks you're drinking alcohol, right? And you haven't drank alcohol, but you took a hit of a blunt. If the officer didn't ask you, have you smoked marijuana today? Have you been drinking? And you say, no, officer, I haven't been drinking, officer. I'm just driving and yada, yada, yada. If he never asks you about marijuana, don't mention it. And that's the thing, is a lot of time people panic. People see, you know, people are paranoid. And you have to think of it as an experience, as like when you walk into a fast food joint, you're going to get your fast food and you're going to leave. You're not expecting to linger at a fast food restaurant. Same thing with police. If you shut up, you're going to get your ticket and you're going to make it home. It's not about shut up and don't defend your rights, but it's know your rights before you open your mouth. That's all I'm saying. Back to you, Morph.
So I'm glad you said know your rights. So just going back to episode 14, when we mentioned know your rights as a Texan, as a U.S. citizen, you know, as a gun owner and as a smart citizen, you know, some of the videos that I've watched, you know, they talk to police officers any kind of way, you know, and they don't get jacked up the way some people do, because, and this is not any way in shape or form, you know, being biased to the people that are recording the officers, or, you know, biased towards the officer. A lot of these officers do not know the law. So if you know the law, that helps you 100%. So you should know it. And I've seen Latinos, blacks, whites, everybody, you know, doing these videos, you know, and every perspective has been different. But anytime that the officer doesn't know the law, like if he didn't know, you can go to a police station right now and just start recording. You can record everything there. As long as you don't go into areas that are restricted, you can record everything. That is a public location because it's paid by tax dollars. Now, if you want to make a scene and do dumb shit, that's up to you. But you can go record, you know, you can even go to like the airport and record a lot of things from the public road, you know, and yeah, they're going to make, you know, security guards, police officers that know will know, you know, how it's supposed to go. So you can record everything and they're going to say, oh, it's against Homeland Security, this and this and that, you know, this is the kind of videos, you know, I've been watching. And then you see them get shot down because basically you can record anything that the eye can see. It's just like, this is a perfect example. You walk into a U.S. Mail Postal Service. You can start recording, looking at things, and you just record, and somebody asks you a question. Well, now you're recording, and you end up recording them. And they can tell you up and down, you know, till their eyes turn purple, that you're not supposed to record them. You didn't sign, and you didn't sign a waiver to record. Doesn't matter. You're in a public location, anybody can record. That's why, you know, I never understood that. You know, I used to not record in locations because I didn't know the law. So I would just, you know, stop recording, you know, and stuff like that, you know, just to follow the rules. But you don't have to stop recording. It's a public location. Anything that's public, you know, these folks go, I mean, yes, they go agitate and act like they're doing something. But some of these folks, they're smart enough to actually get. So the one I saw, this guy went and started recording at a U.S. mail. First, he went to the police station and was like recording inside the vehicles. He wasn't opening up any of them, but he was showing how dirty some were, how some were running, and the people were inside for like 20 minutes, you know, just wasting gas, you know. And then the police chief came up to him and told him, yeah, you can record, you can, you know, do whatever you want, as long as you don't cross certain lines or, you know, try to go into vehicles. He's like, this is all public property. You know, you're a taxpayer, as long as you don't, you know, do, you know, anything malicious. So he then left and said, well, let me go try the U.S. mail. So he went there and he started recording, and the lady behind the counter was like, you can't record here. It's illegal to record. He's like, no, it's not. It's not illegal. I can record as much as I want, as long as I'm not recording transactions. And the lady that was paying was like, you can't record me. I didn't sign a waiver and I refuse for you to record me. He's like, ma'am, you just asked me a question, so now you're in the video, or something like that. One guy said, okay, don't worry about it, you know, and continued the transaction with the lady. And she walks out. The girl goes get the supervisor And the supervisor, you know, the first thing, you can't record. You know, he kind of was like agitated and he was like, you can't record. This is a federal, you know, whatever. And you can't do that. So he went and showed him the thing where it basically says, you know, any reporter can record as long as they're not recording transactions and this and that. And one thing I didn't know, you know, me and you, Ray, we're both part of the press. We don't have to have a press pass or anything. We are actually the press because, you know, we have freedom of the press. You don't have to have, you know, a press pass. So he kept saying, you're not really the press and this and this and that. They called the officer. The officer came and he showed the officer and the officer, you know, he seemed cool at that point. And he had the body cam. And then a lady officer came. He kind of, another thing that I don't know if you knew, if a police officer interacts with you, the first thing you can ask is what's your name and what's your badge number? You know, and they do that all the time. And sometimes, you know, these guys just point to the chest. Here's my name. He's like, no, I want you to say it out. You're supposed to say it. You know, you serve me, you know, you're a public servant, you know, and things like that. So they have to like say it out or he'll record it and, you know, they just walk away. So she kind of just walked away. He said his name. She kind of just walked away and said it. And they were going back and forth. And this guy was smart. He actually subpoenaed the body cam for both of them and actually could hear. And he actually posted the video with this actual video. He basically said, yeah, I know this guy. Our police chief told us that he was around in the city, you know, taking videos. You know, he's free to do the videos and this and that. You know, he kind of explained it. And she was like, well, he's just trying to do this and this and that. He's just trying to get, you know, a rise out of us and we're not going to fall for it. And they just, you know, just started chuckling or whatever. And the supervisor that was on site, he was, you know, told him basically, look, he can record as long as he's not recording. And then they started lying. The girl was like, yeah, he was trying to record. He was real close. At no point this dude was close. He was like 10, 15 feet away on the other side. So you know how the U.S. mail got like the long counters? He was way on the other side and she was way like in the front. And he was actually recording something else, like different slips, like for U.S. passports, you know, just kind of acting like he's informing, you know, people on where to get, you know, the passport information and the different documents that they have there at the U.S. mail. They recorded that. And then they had when they told him, you know, he can record or whatever. And then all the stories changed. Like they were saying that he was, you know, basically leaning over the counter and all this other crap. So, I mean, that's one thing. I don't know if you knew, man, these guys, they subpoena body cams. So that's another thing, you know, in this day and age, there's body cams. They're supposed to be rolling the body cams and you can hear on some of these recordings when they're rolling, if you pay attention or if you listen after they've done like something or they said something, they'll start saying, hey, I got a hot mic. I got a hot mic. And that's basically just saying that, you know, they're recording and, you know, don't say nothing crazy or anything like that. So, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, you can, if people were smart, they would just comply. I'm not saying, you know, every situation is like this, but most situations, if you comply, and request, I mean, that's public record. You can request the body cams and just like, you know, you can request the information, you know, for the actual stop. So, I mean, that's just information for our folks. 'Cause you know, some people don't understand there are agitators, you know, we are agitators and, you know, the officers, you know, I think everybody has their hand in this and somewhere or another, we just need to come together and stop this stupid violence too, man. Because I know in Texas, there's so many freaking guns. Seems like we have more crimes here that the guns are, you know, more abundant than other locations.
So that's kind of recent history, right? And that's kind of what we always, you know, what have you done for me lately type of deal. But for a long time, Texas, you know, even with our gun laws being as laxed as they were, we had less gun violence in the 2000s than a lot of states where the gun laws were more restrictive. But now, because of, you know, I like to say people refreshed when COVID hit, I think a lot of people lost home training because people stayed home for so long. And I mean, particularly here in Texas, Texas is hot, man. Texas is hot. And there's so many different cultures out here that if you're not really familiar with the environment, it's very easy for you to fall victim to a lot of different activities that go on in the street because everybody can be a target. And the thing, the biggest lie that America believes is, you know, crime only happens in bad areas. That's a big lie. Crime happens everywhere. It does not matter where you are. Crime is there. If there's an opportunity, it will be capitalized on. Now, like I said, people are out here and we got different, like Texas, Houston has become this big pot, you know, of different people, you know, California, New York, Midwest, everybody's coming from different places, different countries, man. We got so many different cultures here in Texas. The laws are different everywhere. So, for example, the recording law. In Illinois, you can't record somebody without letting them know that they're being recorded. So, for example, like let's say a police officer pulls you over. You can't record that police officer without letting that police officer know that he's being recorded. And at that point, it just becomes a hostile interaction. And I don't look at it as, well, I get to record this interaction because you're a police officer and I'm a citizen and it's my right. How many times do we see people in public, just regular civilians? You know, you see somebody point a camera at you. You're going to say, hey, you recording me? You filming me? Everybody feels weird with a camera in their face if it's coming from a stranger. So I can only imagine how, you know, if you're a regular person, like if you're a regular officer and you're just trying to conduct a normal interaction, and now you got a paranoid person sitting in the car, waving their camera in your face and trying to make sure I feel like people are trying to catch them slipping. And that's the thing, man. Like when you see a snake, you don't walk up to the snake and find out if the snake is poisonous or not. You treat that snake like it's a snake. And people want to sit here and poke at the police. And it's like, yo, like they don't have to. It doesn't take much for a police officer to find probable cause to start getting into your business, you know. And a lot of times I feel like if people just, I'm not saying obey. I'm just saying if people just played the game the way the game was meant to be played, maybe people would make it home after a long day. Because like I said earlier, if the police is the initial point of contact, let's say the arrest was not a valid arrest. Let's say they arrested you and you didn't do it. You didn't do whatever they said you did. And you end up going to jail. You got to spend 24 hours, 48 hours in jail, depending on when you get your court. You got to go talk to the judge, right? Whenever that happens, the judge will determine if the charges are going to hold up. The prosecutor is going to determine, are we going to continue with these charges? Are we going to drop the charges? The end all be all is the judge or the jury. At the end of the day, they're the one that's going to convict you or free you. So even if, I mean, Lord forbid, you know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to go to jail. Nobody wants to get arrested. Nobody wants to get caught doing anything. But if you must go to jail, it's better to go to jail and get out than to go to jail and stay there. You know, and a simple traffic stop can turn into 5 years real quick. You know, resisting arrest will turn into 5 years. Resisting and evading, you know, running away from the police. That's an easy charge right there, you know. And then Lord forbid you try to defend yourself when the police officer tackled you. Now it's assault on a police officer. So things can escalate really quickly if you're not careful. And it doesn't matter how you feel, if it's right, wrong, I didn't do it, or you don't know the whole story, or she's a bitch, or he's a this. It doesn't matter how you feel. The law is very clear and the law is there. And their job is to enforce the law. If they don't know the law 100%, because there's 1,000,000,000 laws going on at the same time, they're not going to know every law and every procedure. They're just there to enforce the law based off of what they see at that moment. So you really have to understand that it's not a game per se, but if you treat it like a game and you understand that these guys are just, they're here to enforce rules, and your responsibility is to either prove that you're following the rules or at least try to follow the procedure as best as you can. But I'm not here to defend police, and I'm not here to accuse police. I'm just here to say that everybody is responsible for themselves. It doesn't matter if the statistics say police are killing unarmed people. They haven't killed you yet. It doesn't matter if police is pulling people over at a speed trap, or if they're pulling you over to check your sobriety, if they have like one of those alcohol stops, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if they pulled over the car in front of you, they're going to pull you over too. And it's in your best interest to cooperate or to at least try to make it as smooth a process so you can make it home. Whether you get a ticket, you can fight the ticket, or you can pay the ticket, you're going to be all right. If you got drugs on you, okay, you know what? You might go to jail, but you could pay the bond and get out, or it depends on if it's your third strike or not. But here in Texas, the biggest problem we've had lately is, like the police officers say, we need to do a better job at catching the criminals. And we've talked about this before, where the police is doing a great job at catching criminals. The court is giving these criminals bonds. There's no reason why you should murder somebody and be out on the street the next day. They should revoke bonds at that point. But they're doing this to be petty, because you know how they keep popping up with these prisoners that were convicted in the 80s or 70s or 90s, and they've been in jail for 30, 40, 50 years. And they're like, oh, well, my bad, you didn't do it. Well, they're using that as a premise to say, well, we need the reform bail. And at the end of the day, man, we're letting real murderers out on the street. When COVID broke out, people were paying $1 to bail out of jail. What do you, if a criminal is a repeat criminal, a repeat offender, what do you think they're going to do when they get back out? Repeat another crime. And it's typically the same crime. And they're going to go back. You know, there was a Tupac interview where Tupac said that the states will release these prisoners back into the communities and act as if Black people aren't scared of criminals. And it's like, well, yeah, like Black people are scared of murderers and thieves and robbers just the same as white people and Asians and Latinos are. We're all afraid of the same thing. But at the end of the day, because one community has the same skin color, it's easier to signal them out versus, you know, somebody that's Latino like us. Like, you know, I'm Latino, but I'm a light-skinned Latino. I like to tell people I'm dark-skinned. I'm light skinned with dark skin tendencies, but at the end of the day, you know, a police officer might look at us and have don't even have to bat an eye and look at us and say, are they white, Latino? It doesn't even matter. They're not even looking at us for a particular crime. Like if somebody just got robbed down the street and we get pulled over, they might not even be looking at us for the crime. They might just be pulling us over for something else. But if we were Black, we would probably fit a description of some sort, you know, and it's unfortunate, and it definitely needs to be addressed. But at the end of the day, we're talking about individuals and groups, and we can't just bundle everybody up into one box and say, all right, this universal law applies to everybody and we're going to apply it the same way. And I'll tell you why. You know, you go to these rich communities, these people all fall in line together. They all live the same. They act the same. They all on the same page. You know what I'm saying? When you go to Kroger in the rich area, they don't got no homeless people standing outside of Kroger asking for food or money or none of that. You know why? Because they'll call police, or they'll go inside of Kroger and tell the manager, hey, you got somebody soliciting for money. All they got to do is go outside, tell that homeless person to leave. And if they don't leave, now they're trespassing. Now they got a valid reason to call police and get them removed from the premises or go to jail. You know, and if you don't know your law, you're saying, well, I'm in a public place. I can stand here in Kroger and I can do whatever I want. I'm not robbing nobody. I'm not doing anything. But Kroger is a business and you can't solicit at businesses, you know, so you're breaking a law. Whether you think it's wrong or right, you're still breaking the law. My favorite law to tell people is the air freshener. The people that hang air fresheners from their mirror in Texas, that's probable cause to pull you over because it's obstructing your view of traffic. So even though you buy it at the gas station for $1, that dollar can get you pulled over. And if you just happen to smoke before you got into your car, or you maybe were at a party and you had a beer or a couple glasses of wine, that air freshener could cost you your license. It could cost you time in jail. It can cost you your career. It doesn't matter how you feel about the law. The law is the law. It don't matter if you're 0.09. It's still over the legal limit. That's DUI right there. It's a wrap.
Yeah. So speaking of that, when you were talking, I actually was thinking about people recording. So me and my brother-in-law were having a chat about you know, people recording, and he listens to the podcast and kind of explained that he actually was developing an app. And I think I may have told you this, Ray. So he was developing an app, you know, a couple episodes ago. I think he's worked on it for maybe like a year, and he's been working on this app. And basically it's like a uninterrupted, unedited type video that you record. So you record it from an app. It's called Third Eye. You record it from an app and it directly sends it to a server, untouched, basically raw. And I was thinking of this because you see a lot of people recording, but then you see a lot of people like editing the recordings, and you know, you can edit a recording, and sometimes you can't submit those, you know, in a case. It's not like good evidence, because if you are, let's say, like a great editor, you can edit stuff, chop it up and make it look a certain way and edit it to where it makes someone look guilty that really wasn't guilty or something like that. It's just like, I put in this perspective. How many times have you seen a video that just shows like one side of the story, but it doesn't show the beginning on how, like, let's say the bad interaction started or what that person did first, you know, but they just show the bad part and make that person seem like they did something wrong, like they were the agitator. But if you look at the whole video, you know, let's say, you know, two people are fighting and one guy was just standing there, you know, and did nothing, and somebody just walked up and slapped him, or, you know, played a prank on him or hit him or something, you know, but all you see is a guy retaliating. Well, guess what? He's going to go to jail because they think he was the one that started it, because that's who the video shows. But just to plug his website and his app, Third Eye, it's basically an app, and it basically takes uninterrupted video, and you can record it from your phone and it sends it directly to a server. And, you know, had talks about it. He stated that that evidence goes directly to like a website that the police can actually, you know, pull up, or let's say a judge or something. So I just plugged them, you know, cause I know me and him talked about it, and I was just thinking about, you know, recordings and how people can manipulate recordings. And that's pretty cool. I mean, he's not, you know, we're not sponsored by him or anything like that, but I just wanted to bring that up. And then the other thing about recording is sometimes I just feel some of the people that are recording should be helping out as well. I mean, how many times you've seen, you know, people beating up somebody or doing something and they're recorded, but they're not helping. Okay, granted, you can't help the person that's being, you know, put down by the police or being held down by the police or anything like that, you know, because then you're going to get, you know, arrested as well. But if let's say a woman is getting, you know, slapped by a man, people just, you know, just for the clicks and clickbait, you know, or, you know, a rise from people that they record it and don't even help out. You know, I think that's kind of sad in our future, because people really want like the content and they're not helping like the actual victim. How do you feel about that?
I think it depends, man, because I mean, every situation is different. You know, recently, okay, like as far as the editing goes, the best example I have for me would be the American Airlines guy recently with the NFL player, the former NFL player that they got into a fight at the airport. When I first saw the clip, I just saw the American Airlines attendant basically, like, I know the dude was cussing at him and stuff, but like basically he walked up and smacked him. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn. So when he two-pieced him and he fell and busted his face and all that, I was like, well, I'm like, what was that dude's issue? You know what I'm saying? Like, what made him snap so bad to where he lost his cool and slapped the customer? But then they released the actual video and it was like the NFL player had like swung on dude a couple times and he was cussing at him in his face and calling him all types of names. Like, that's a perfect example of how you can manipulate a situation and you don't see the whole thing and you just react on what you see. So I totally understand that part and how the Third Eye app and different apps like it could be beneficial, because you never know when you're going to need that uncut video. You know, if somebody just happened to be recording, that could save your life. or you know, save your record or whatever. But
yeah, because just to stay on that, originally when I saw the first video, who was it? It was United, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it said United employee slaps or gets into an altercation with ex-football player. And I'm like, man, for real? Why would this dude, you know, risk his job? And I seen, like, him basically, you know, in the altercation, you know, being the main person in it, you know. But then you see the full video where it starts, where he's like, I guess he was in the wheelchair or something, or he got out of the wheelchair, and then that's when the whole thing starts. And I don't know, he was kind of being belligerent at that point. The United Airline guy, you know, his faults too, because, you know, you're an employee. You don't want to get into altercation with somebody. But if you look at the video, you know, it just seemed like he was the one, the agitator, until you see the whole video. So yeah, that was a good example, because I've seen it time and time again when you watch a video and then you like see the actual full clip and you see what the heck happened. You're like, damn, you know, this whole time I'm thinking, you know, the United Airline guy was the guy in the wrong, and it was actually, you know, the football player.
So I think like WorldStar really started that movement of recording stuff and not necessarily stepping in. But it's a big difference when you're recording a backyard fight club, or when you're recording two people fighting, like high school kids fighting or something in a backyard or a lunch or whatever. It's different when you're recording that versus when you're like, I don't know, man, like maybe you're at the mall and, you know, you see a dude beating up a woman in the middle of the mall. Like, you could probably jump in at that point, but you have to realize we've talked about this so many times, where a lot of times the way the law is scripted, you have to kind of be involved in the situation to even get involved in the situation. Because let's say I see a man fighting a woman. Like, yeah, in the real world, I'll probably get praise for standing up and defending a woman that was getting beat up. But I could turn around and get assault charges pressed on me for putting my hands on that guy, because that guy wasn't technically a direct threat to me. Does that make sense? And so that's why I tell people all the time, as individuals, you know, because when we go to court, it's not going to be me and the person that I hit. It's going to be me, because I'm the one being pressed with charges. You know, he beat up his girl or his wife and they either broke up or stayed together. But I'm the one in court now. Or, you know, there's a lot of situations like where people will claim self-defense. And it's like, well, do you understand how self-defense works? You still have to be threatened for you to claim self-defense. You know, we talked about the case a couple episodes ago where the little girl here in Houston got killed because the guy that shot her had just got robbed. And so he was trying to shoot at the robber, but he shot the wrong vehicle. And, you know, unfortunately, the little girl died from that. You know, in that case, do I sympathize with the guy because he had just got robbed? I definitely do. I sympathize with him. The adrenaline that must have been going, the anger, the confusion. You know, he was with his family. He had six kids. I could see why he had that emotional reaction. But again, I like I told you, sometimes you could be wrong trying to do the right thing. And he killed somebody because he was negligent. I say negligent because he didn't do the right thing when he handled his firearm. Can we sympathize with this guy and say, man, maybe he doesn't deserve to go to jail because he was just trying to protect himself? Sure, but that's not how the law is written. So it don't matter how you feel, it's what the law says.
Yeah, it's not your opinion. It's what the law is.
So I can definitely see how people would like say, okay, like, man, I've seen videos where, like, for example, a mom is beating the hell out of her child and somebody's recording the video. That's a situation where you need to step in. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't step in to protect that child, that's probably not their first time being abused, and they're probably going to end up dead or severely traumatized from the experience. Like, that's a moment where you need to step in. Don't allow child abuse in front of you. Or if you see somebody getting raped or spiked, you know, they're drugging people or something, like, you should probably step in. Society has created now is we're basically policing each other at this point. And I say policing because I don't want to sound ignorant saying snitching, but that is kind of what people are doing. Everybody is snitching on everybody now. The police has websites where you can go submit anonymous reports. You can text the police now. You could do a lot of things, man. And that's the scary part. That's where we got the Karens. That's where we got all these people that, you know, well, why are you barbecuing at the park? It's like, well, because it's a park and I'm in public and I can barbecue as long as I'm not throwing glass containers everywhere, you know, or blasting loud music. That's where we got all this movement of people policing each other. And, well, why are you in this building? What apartment do you live in? That's none of your business. People need to learn to mind their own business to avoid situations that they have no business being a part of. You know, like, again, if you see something in public and you don't agree with it, if you don't see security doing something, if you don't see police doing something, maybe you shouldn't do nothing either, because that's why these companies and these businesses have procedures in place. They have cameras, they have security, loss prevention. Like, man, that's none of my business. If I see somebody robbing Walmart, I'm not going to stop the robber. That's not my business. Walmart has insurance. Walmart will have that covered. If I step in that robber's way and that robber has a knife and I get stabbed in the gut, that's a wrap. So I sympathize, and I'm not a coward by any means. Like, you have to have that perception of, if I get involved, what's going to happen? Because is it just going to be a fist fight? Is he going to whip? Does he have a gun that I don't know he has? And road rage. Oh, man. Road rage is the stupidest reason to die on planet Earth. It's the stupidest reason, because literally, you don't know the person in the other vehicle. They don't know you. You can drive away. You could drive in the opposite direction. You could speed up, slow down. There's so much that you can do, but people will pull over. Or, I mean, there are people that are nuts. They will follow you for miles, or they'll cut you off and stop their car and brake check you. People are nuts. I'm not saying, you know, don't protect yourself. But what I'm saying is, man, pull up to a police station. If they really bought that life, they're going to shoot you in the police parking lot, you know, but you got to learn to mind your own business unless it directly affects you. I'm not going to get involved in road rage unless somebody comes and smashes their vehicle into me, or if somebody whips out a gun on me in traffic. That's a valid reason. Again, like, if I see two dudes fighting at a bar, I'm not stepping in, man. Y'all gonna have to handle that. And when police comes, they gonna handle y'all. That's none of my business.
Kind of like what you touch is the defenseless person. So a child or somebody being raped, a big dude, you know, slapping around a woman or something like that.
Or these dudes that rob old people, man. I hate that, man. I hate seeing how the old people would be at ATMs and then these dudes will walk up and snatch their purse or punch an old man in the face and, like, stuff like that. Yeah, man, for sure. You know, if you have an opportunity to do something, do something. But if you're standing in a crowd and you see somebody pick up a baseball bat and they're smashing someone's head in the concrete and you're just recording that, that's weak. You know, and I'm not saying go get your head bashed in, but do something. Scream, blow a whistle, get a taser, pepper spray, do something. You know, but at the end of the day, you got to use discernment and your judgment, and everybody has to hold themselves accountable and not get blinded by that hero complex. Well, I saved somebody's life. Yeah, well, now you're in jail for it.
Well, that's been a good discussion today. In conclusion, one thing I want to say and just bring back up is just know your rights. Don't be the agitator. Follow, you know, all the commands that, you know, police officers say. And like I said, that's not going to work all the time. You know, if the cop is being an a-hole or something like that, you know, that may not always work, you know, but be the smart one. Know your rights, know the laws, and know what you can and cannot do at any given point. So like that, because like I said, a lot of officers don't know the actual laws themselves. So,
and don't listen to normal sayings that you hear, like cliche sayings and phrases like, well, if you ask a police officer, if he's a police officer, he has to tell you the truth. No, they don't. They do not have to tell you the truth. They're not the ones being questioned for a possible crime. So they don't have to sit here and tell you if they're police officers or not.
If they're in a uniform, then they do have to give you the badge and the name.
Well, yeah, they can't conceal their badge or their name or anything, but they don't have to sit here and tell you if they're police officers and they're off duty. They don't have to do that. Or if they're undercover, they don't have to do that. If you're a woman and a police officer is like, all right, put your hands behind your back, just because you're a woman and he's a man, that does not mean that your gender applies in this instance where you can say, well, don't put your hands on me. I'm a lady, or I'm a woman, or I'm a mother, or I'm a wife. That does not matter. You will get roughed up the same way a guy gets roughed up. It does not matter. So I'm just to say, man, I'm not just all the way pro police. I'm not anti police. I treat everybody with the same way I would like to be treated, with respect. And I try to keep things at a very cordial level with everybody, but you can't treat everybody the same. Yeah, basically with the we own this city, we're going to definitely tap into some of these backdoor police dealings and some of the injustices that they do, not to necessarily slander police, but to point out that everybody is responsible for their own rights and their own safety and protecting themselves. And you have to know what's right and what's wrong in order to do that. So hopefully we can enlighten our viewers and listeners with some information this week and next week.
So one last plug before I forget. With the rise of the thefts of catalytic converters, and it's not Cadillac converters. So I know folks say that all the time. It's catalytic converters. If you don't know why they're stealing it, there's titanium in there, and it's sold for a lot more than what it's worth. I think they cost anywhere from $300 to $500, but these guys make more money on that. So don't be the idiot that gets, you know, killed because somebody's stealing it. If you can call the police, call the police. You know, don't try to take matters into your own hand. And this is for anybody, even if you're a police officer and you're listening to this, because I don't know if you heard about the case where the officer, I think it was a Walmart or something like that, he was walking out and they had just finished shopping. He caught the guy and he tried to apprehend him. It was three guys, and he tried to apprehend him and they shot him dead. Now, this is an off-duty police officer, you know, that most likely was carrying, you know, and he's more prepared than most of us. And he got shot and killed in front of his family. He could have just let them just steal it and go away, and he would be living, and he wouldn't have a widow and a child with no father. So don't be an idiot. I've seen a lot of videos where they, you know, almost catch these folks. And like, there was one, there was like five of them. They were stealing, you know, the catalytic converter. And what happened is the sister came out to throw out the trash. She seen them. And she threw out the trash and just acted like she didn't see anything and walked in. The guy and his brothers came out and started like chasing them. And these guys like ran off. But when they turned around the corner, they actually had pistols and they actually chased them and shot. And one of them dudes, I want to say he died. I can't remember if he died or not. But all those little kids, they were all little kids. If you see the video, they were basically little kids because they had video cameras at the property, because I guess they had one of those little stationary cameras that view everywhere. And I think they caught the kids. But I mean, don't be an idiot. You know, it's just a catalytic converter. It costs $300 to $500. Don't let it cost your life. You know, just, it takes them 5 minutes to steal it. Just, you know, just live your life the next day. You know, you'll know if they stole it, because then your car sounds like a Mustang and you really didn't want a Mustang.
Well, I do got a little bit of advice for our people on this one. So I spoke to a good friend of mine, and we were talking about how that police officer in particular didn't necessarily follow police protocol on how police would handle a situation like that in the first place. Where there's one, there's two. Where there's two, there's three, you know, committing a crime. That's kind of what the assumption is, right? So when he sees the three people robbing his catalytic converter, like you said, your car is going to sound like a Mustang when you didn't want one, but your car is not even going to really start without it anyway, because these cars have sensors, and without that catalytic converter, your car is not going to run. You're going to have to get it towed, and you're going to have to get it fixed anyway. So in that instance, you're more better off taking a good description of the suspects and getting a view of the getaway vehicle and all that, versus trying to be defensive at that point and standing up to these people, because they have guns. Look, if somebody is bold enough to rob you, they're bold enough to kill you, because they've already mentally prepared themselves to face whatever. Like, if they break into your house, they assume that there's people in the house. If they are going to break into your car, they're going to assume somebody's going to walk up behind them. So in this instance, he did manage to kill, or in, I don't know if he killed both or he killed two of them, but he still got killed. You know, even if he was able to shoot two of them, one of them still got him. When you're outnumbered that way, you know, the best thing you could do is just, like I said, get a good description, wait for the proper authorities to show up, give them the descriptions and let them go do the work. That's their job, you know, but he should be home today with his family. And instead, unfortunately, he's at a funeral. I mean, there was a funeral for him because he didn't really follow his own training.
He was at the funeral.
Well, yeah, you know. He was so, at his own.
That's the topic for today. Like Ray said, next week we'll be talking about We Own the City, the corruption of Baltimore police officers and the Gun Trace Task Force, GTTF, in Baltimore, evictions and all that. So we'll be talking about that. Be sure to follow us on our socials. Go to our website, www.morespeaks.com, on our Instagram, all of that.
That's right. Now, I do want to apologize. I have been a little MIA from social media lately, just going through some things, getting things handled and stuff like that. But we are active on social media. We will be active. You know, you guys send us y'all's comments, y'all's likes. You know, we're always posting content. Shout out to all our supporters. I want to give a big shout out to School Yonder and Mr. Byron Bank. That's right. Shout out to both of them, man. We've seen a lot of support and love from both of them. So much love and support to both of them as well. But follow us, www.morespeaks.com, on IG at morespeaks. You can follow me and Morph individually at Rayvolutionary, Ray underscore Volutionary, or at Morpheus300. Besides that, Morph, you got anything else?
Yeah, catch me at a car show in 2 weeks. Morpheus 300 is coming back.
Oh, snap. Y'all check out the YouTube channel too, man. We got a lot of content up there. We're going to be posting a lot of stuff, man. Y'all stay in touch. Much love. We signing out. H-Town, we out.
Welcome to More Speaks.